Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. Mike McDowd is off today on assignment. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question. And do want to welcome our latest additional station, AM 1550 SLC Sports Radio in Salt Lake City and throughout the Salt Lake Valley, with a special thanks to program director Dino Costa. Today, we do have a special guest, a former Giants general manager and now special advisor to the Giants, Bobby Evans. We're going to go to a break in just a minute, but Bobby's been a friend of the show for a number of years now. Bobby, how are you? How are you doing today?
Very good. Good morning. Nice to be with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. When we come back from break, I there's a bunch of questions I want to ask you because you were the general manager and, you know, the way I look at it is that, Buster Posey was, you know, quote, underneath you. And now it seems like maybe the, tide has the positions have shifted and what's that like? And then also, you know, like what kind of special things are you doing for the Giants as a special advisor? And when we come back, so Russell, you're going to like this because I have an actual computer question in our trivia that I think you're going to like. You better get this one right. All right. And then also, we definitely want to talk about game seven for the Thunder and the Pacers. My prediction, I thought the Thunder were going to win in six games. So, I was off one game. And what happened to Obi Toppin? He just sort of got... he seemed to not show up, you know, I don't know. Maybe he was just a little bit too nervous. All right. Audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcovein.com for reservations. That's elkcovein.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman and our special guest, Bobby Evans. Bobby, okay, let's first talk about this. You were the general manager of the Giants. We're on, let's call it, hiatus for a while. And now you just got rehired. What is your role with the Giants right now?
Well, as a senior advisor to our president of baseball operations, we all know Buster Posey. I think for me, it's really just to support a baseball operations department that's really a well-oiled machine. I think that Buster Posey is very much in his element in this new role and as the president of baseball operations. And then Zach Manyason, a longtime baseball executive, grew up in the game and has been very successful in his own right, has taken over as general manager, which really just creates a great tag team between him and Buster in terms of running the baseball operations department. And they have a great leadership team around them, from the director of amateur scouting, Michael Holmes, to the director of pro scouting, Hottie, and also our head of analytics, Paul Bien, and assistant general manager, Jeremy Shelley. It's just, Randy Wynn and Kyle Haynes leading player development, Joe Salermo leading international. So it's just a great team. And so for me, I get to be an extra set of eyes, extra set of ears, a voice here and there, and really just enjoy the camaraderie that they have, and then continue to help encourage them and support any of those guys and their staff any way I can. And I think the fun part of it is there's so many elements to what goes on in baseball operations. We don't really realize, how many aspects of things are going on. It's not just the 2.5 or 3 hour ball game that day. There's a large effort in terms of conditioning and strengthening the players, handling the medical issues. Obviously, the player development system, and player development also happens at the big league level. There's always trade talks. There's always roster moves. There's always players that we're scouting on other teams. There's always preparation for the draft that comes up in July. There's a large international pool of players and money that has to be, well managed, as well as players that are developing there. We have two teams in the Dominican with players that are, 16 years of age or 17. So there's a lot of different things going on, and it's fun to watch Buster and Zach work together, and then the team, manage really the future and the present of the San Francisco Giants.
I can see Buster maybe even moving over to being on field manager, because a lot of catchers are kind of fit for that. I think of Bochy and other catchers who I guess Boone was it's just because they could see the whole field,
Bob Melvin's a former catcher, yeah. And Scott Service and Mike Matheny. There's been so many. Joe Madden, Joe Torre, so many great former catchers over the years that have been the field manager. I think Buster, though, is in his element. I think this is really a great pathway for him as president of baseball ops, because he's able to work with whomever is the manager, and as well as the entire staff, and really set the direction for the future of the San Francisco Giants on the baseball side.
Well, he seems to have a very good disposition. He's no John McGraw,
No, Russell, he's very balanced, and I think that's the player that he was and why he was successful as a player, and I think that transfers well to what he's doing now.
Yeah. Russell, do you want to ask Bob any questions?
Yeah, there's been a real sea change of attitude in the Giants clubhouse since Farhan Zaidi left. And I always said that, at least from a fan's perspective, we always felt that Zaidi was the kind of person that would promise you a steak dinner and then come home with a half-eaten Happy Meal that he found in the dumpster. and he would promise, he overpromised and underdelivered. And I think that's a really deadly combination when you're trying to run a professional ball club. And I think one of Buster Posey's bigger successes has been he underpromised. And he said, don't everybody get, all worked up. We're not going to spend a lot of money on free agents. And yet now we've spent money on Adames and made the big deal for Devers. So how do you feel like Buster Posey is sort of at least under promised, but now he's starting to over deliver? What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's been fun to watch the team, come together. I think that starting with spring training, Buster brought a lot of his mentality and beliefs about what makes a great team into that clubhouse. And I think Bob Melvin and him have a very common vision of what it's going to take to be successful. I think the recurring lineup, putting people in a position to succeed, but sticking with them. I think there's some hard moves made recently that affected the roster quite a bit, but we went, well over a month into the season before having any pitching moves, and even not much less than that with position player moves. And some of those have been dictated by injuries. But I saw Buster and Zach stick with players who were struggling and gave them a long leash, partly because of what they'd accomplished looking back. And, when a front office is able to give players that room to fail and then get themselves, back in line, that sends a great message to the clubhouse. And it also sends a good message to the player development system in the minor leagues, that players have a chance to come up and will be given the latitude to fail. But also, the expectation will be that they'll right themselves and then get going. And I think that gives players, less, tension and ultimately more confidence to succeed. So I think the combination has been great. And I think as Buster, looks around the league and looks at what our competition is and sees how well we've done so far, I think it really prompted him to look for, the greatest need that we had, which was a way to really add some power and someone to drive the ball into the middle of the order. And Devers was, really a very, very unusual opportunity. And it's hard to get a player like that in free agency, and probably even harder to get him at the deadline, but nearly impossible to get a player like that in mid-June. And so somehow, we were able to pull that off. And I think that really Buster and Zach's tenacity and attention to what was going on in Boston, as well as an attention to what the Giants needed, they were able to, you know, orchestrate and design that deal to get it done right now. And I think that that gives really an advantage to the clubhouse, and it gives an advantage to Devers to settle in and have a significant portion of the season still ahead of us. And it should be, you know, a great boost to that clubhouse and really set the environment, you know, on its ears to know that there's a belief upstairs that we can do something special.
You know, it reminds me Willie Mays. You know, he was a superstar supposed to be coming in, right? And I think he went like 0-17, his first 17 at bats, but they stuck with him because they knew he was going to be a superstar. All right. You guys ready for our first commercial break here with a trivia question? All right. This one actually has, well, I guess it's more of a phone thing rather than a computer thing. I don't know. All right. And then Russell, you can't say anything until we get back from break. All right. How much faster are 6G speeds versus 5G speeds? How much faster? All right. That's our trivia question. Kind of an odd one there. Don't worry. The next one will be something about Batman. And then the other one will be about U.S. state capitals. Got to figure, you got to keep the audience sort of engaged with all
the Batman one, right?
Yeah, that one. Well, it'll be interesting to see if you know the entire thing. We'll ask. It'll make more sense when I ask it. But again, this trivia question is: how much faster are 6G speeds versus 5G speeds? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman and our special guest, Bobby Evans. All right, first trivia question. How much faster are 6G speeds versus 5G speeds?
I still haven't even gotten 5G on my phone yet. I think that it's 10 times faster?
No, actually it's 100 times faster.
100 times. I knew it was a factor of 10, but I didn't know.
Yeah, close enough. Bobby, I did want to ask you, when you were general manager, what's it like negotiating contracts with players?
Yeah, well, my time as general manager was, relatively short compared to my entire 25 years with the Giants, and a lot of that time was spent, negotiating contracts, and it changed over the years. I mean, there were times where, going back to negotiating a minor league player in the draft, the team had total say as to what those numbers look like. But then as it evolved, there became a predetermined recommendation, they called it, as to what a player in the draft should get. And then it became more and more fixed, even in recent years. There's still some flexibility for teams, but there's a lot of expectation in terms of what a player will get at a certain point in the draft. So those negotiations have changed a lot. The arbitration process, I became much more involved in our arbitration process when I became assistant general manager in 2006. And I think that the process in that has changed a lot, too. At that time, a lot of our deals, when we were negotiating players that were arbitration eligible, which are players that are in that 3+ of major league service years, but not yet eligible for free agency. So there's roughly 3 or 4 years of which a player is arbitration eligible. Those negotiations have changed a lot because we used to work very hard to try to settle, with our players so that there was no hard feelings, and we would try to be reasonable and they would be reasonable, and we would try to find a good, happy place to finish those deals. But then there's been a lot of encouragement for clubs to take a much harder stance and just say, if you don't get a deal done at the deadline, then we'll just take this to an arbitration hearing and have lawyers decide it. And that's a much harder stance, and it's not as necessarily as conducive to getting the best deal for both sides necessarily, but it is a deal that can get done, and you don't end up, it's a threatening deal where you either get a deal done or you end up in the arbitration hearing. So those are not as necessarily the best things for the relationship either. Yeah. Now, when it comes to free agent deals, there's a lot more of courting players, than we did maybe in the early 2000s. We spent time, even as assistant GM and GM, where Brian and I would often just try to get players, to San Francisco to talk with some of our players or talk with our management or talk with Bruce Bochy, just to try to make sure that they understood what they were coming to and the opportunity that they had. But I think when the club was winning, during, those particularly those years of, 10, 12 and 14, there was a lot of attraction to come here, in fact, at the same time, we only had so many spots open too, because some of our farm system was really filling a lot of those voids. And a lot of the deals that Brian and I made during that time were not necessarily long-term deals. The free agent process is a very different negotiation though, because it's oftentimes you think of it as top dollar, but sometimes there's a bias in a family. A given player's family might prefer, a location over money, and so I do think that whenever you have a team that's successful and winning, you automatically move to the top of players' lists. When you're struggling and not winning, you didn't tend to fall below the top tier of players' priorities. I do think that, the Giants under the leadership, you know, now at Buster Posey, it becomes a very attractive place to come, because if you're a player, you see that management, in this case, the team, the president of baseball ops, understands what it is to be a player. Obviously, yeah. He's doing this job because he wants to win. And so it starts things on a different note, you know, than maybe it would, you know, if the club, even if the club wasn't winning but had other leadership, it may not be as attractive as it is right now. And now, of course, Buster's brought in a really good group, and we see success so far in the season, 10 games over 500 at this point. So hopefully a lot to look forward to in a postseason run.
I wonder, too, if someone comes to a team that's already successful, if they feel like they're going to be a small fish in a big pond versus a big fish in a small pond with a rebuilding.
Yeah. It does make a difference. I mean, a lot of the players are going to look at what the roster looks like around them. You know, if I'm a number four hitter and I'm coming in, but there's no real five or six hitter, then there's nobody behind me to protect me. You know, the pitching that I'll see may not be the same as I go somewhere else. But I think some players really want to be the guy, and some players prefer to be a little more background and have other guys be the guy. And personalities play a role in that, but the makeup of a roster, the history of how players are treated, or, you know, how a city receives its players. I think that there's so many different 30 teams. There's so many different markets and so many different philosophies, yet, you know, a lot of information is the same, but the way it's used or how decisions are made or the personnel style, leadership style at different places, you know, can give players some tough choices to make depending on where they want to be.
Well, also, if you're a home run hitter and you go to a park that is not friendly, you know, for home runs, I realize a lot of things to think about, you know, because just in general, if you're thinking just strictly about weather, playing half your games in San Diego, you know, it seems like a pretty good thing. Yeah.
Right.
And
then, right.
In Colorado, I mean, I personally can't take that elevation. So, you know, so Colorado, don't ask me to be your starting pitcher. Okay. Russell, chime in here.
Yeah. I was getting back to Farhan Zaidi. You know, I think that one of the issues that we had as fans was this level of pretentiousness that Farhan brought with him, that he was always the smartest man in the room. And Buster Posey has never carried on those sort of airs, that he's smarter than anybody else, that he's better than anybody else. Do you think that sort of like everyman approach is working? Well, it obviously is working for the Giants, because if you just look at analytics, we probably shouldn't be as successful a team as we are right now. And so do you think there's going to be a move away from this sort of analytics rules all, everything has to be done through, you know, judging statistics, and instead we're going to go back to more of a gut feeling, kind of like what Bochy brought us? I'm seeing that more coming out of Bob Melvin. Is that your perception too?
Yeah, I mean, I think Buster's a believer that, you know, we need to stay balanced in terms of how we use our data, how we use our relative technology. The relative analytic team provides a lot of information. But I think that, you know, with Bob Melvin and Zach together with Boach, there's really a desire to just make sure we take advantage of all the information, but don't get too one-sided about it. You know, ultimately, these are players that perform. These aren't numbers that perform. You know, I've often said, and I think this is commonly held now, that, you know, this is a game where we have people or players that use numbers, not numbers that use people. And, you know, we need to make sure that we stay in the people business, and the numbers help us, but they're ultimately people out there. And we need to be aware that there's a lot of aspects of performance that transcends what the numbers say, you know, from personal elements to health elements to situational elements to the environment, the culture, you know, the clubhouse. And so I think Bob and Zach and Buster all take those things into account just to make sure that we stay balanced.
Good. Well, that's wonderful. I also think the Giants have made some great decisions. I think getting rid of Lamont Wade, as nice a guy as he was, you know, sends the message that, you know, you can be as nice a guy as you want. If you're batting 140, you know, that you can't get, you're not guaranteed a spot in the lineup every day. And it looks like the Giant, you know, we're not wasting time with Austin Slater. We're not wasting time with Conforto. We're not wasting time with, you know, Joey Bart or guys that, you know, we think are going to suddenly appear and be miraculous. And I like the decisions that Buster is making. I mean, he's making some hard ones, but he's making ones that are turning out okay and benefiting the franchise. I think that that fans overall have a lot of faith in Buster Posey, and I don't think we ever had that faith in Farhan, even when he won 107 games.
Well, I think there's always a balance, just trying to give, like giving Lamont Wade a couple of months to try to, you know, get himself into the right position to succeed. But part of the reason that I think Buster and Zach gave him that amount of time was because he had a track record of success and wanted to see if we couldn't get him into a position, you know, to be successful. But yeah, difficult decisions have to be made at some point. And I think that's what we're seeing. I personally am a little bit biased towards Joey Bart. I would love to have Joey Bart still, but I understand what you're saying. And I think we do have to balance ultimately the, you know, the projection of how good a given player can be, but also how they're performing at the time, because, you know, every game matters in a 162 game schedule. There's no games you want to throw away. So we've got to find a way to, you know, to win as many as possible.
How many times do you get rid of a player and then he ends up being great somewhere else? But hey, okay, here's our next trivia question. All right. You said you're going to know this one, right?
I hope so.
Okay. What is the name of Batman's butler?
Oh, well, that's easy. And I won't say it, but that's the easiest question you've asked in probably about 2 years.
Okay. Well, I'm going to add a little extra to this, though. You got to give me his full name. All right.
Okay, I can do that too.
Oh, all right. Stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all-lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Elements Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all of South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4000. 800-288-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's L-U-M Hotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman, our special guest, Bobby Evans. Second trivia question. What is the name of Batman's butler?
Alfred Pennyworth.
Very good. Very good. I mean, we all knew it was Alfred, but I didn't know. Bobby, did you know his last name was Pennyworth? I didn't know that, but you knew it was Alfred. All right. What else you want to talk about? Because I definitely want to talk a little bit of basketball. You want to talk a little basketball? Did you see the game?
I had a great weekend of not only Giants baseball but also my son's travel ball team. I was very occupied, and you know, once the Warriors and Celtics are out, it's awful hard for me to get excited about the NBA finals.
Right, I'm looking
towards next year, but it does sound like it was pretty exciting. I don't think anybody expected it to go seven games. So
no, it was definitely a six game. Yeah, because you actually came from Boston, didn't you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So how do you deal with the Red Sox now? Do you just say, well, wait a minute, we're talking baseball, I've got to be Giants only?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, when you're talking about Giants playing the Red Sox, that's a different story, but it's always fun to see the Red Sox do well. But yeah, for me with this three game series, there was only one team to root for 3 days. So.
Yeah. So just really quickly, what I said before in the opening, Obi Toppin, he was doing great during the series, and then he seemed to kind of be very hesitant, or maybe they guarded him better. What do you think, Russell?
There's a certain ceiling, I think, that a lot of the Indiana Pacers kind of hit. They were, you know, overachieving for so long, and then you lose someone like Halliburton, and there's no way that you can make up for that. They need to be 100% yesterday to be able to beat a team that is basically playing 1 through 12 on a level that, you know, I'm as a Warriors fan, I'm greatly concerned that Oklahoma City could win another 3-4 titles very easily with the makeup they have now. They have youth, they have experience, and they're getting some actually good draft picks in the next couple of years too because of deals that they've made. They have like 5 first round draft picks in the next 3 years.
Well, yeah. As these guys get a little bit older and a little bit more mature, I think, what did they say? They were the second youngest team compared to
the largest point differential in the history of the NBA in their victories.
Well, wow. Bobby, what's the average age of the players at the Giants right now? Do you know roughly?
You know, I don't, but I want to say in the 27 range, but it could be, you know, could be a tick above that. We've got a good number of players in the 29 to 31 range, but it's a younger group.
And I mean, obviously you get people like Nolan Ryan who can, you know, go until they're 40 something years old, but maybe he could even pitch now. But at what point, where do you start seeing the curve generally?
Like, I mean, you do start to see it at 30. I'd rather understate it than overstate it. I mean, 33 is definitely a point where you start to see, you know, how much players are going to be able to turn it on, you know, or really start to slow down. So 33 is a pivotal year. You know, I think that, you know, you're going to see players that still play into their late 30s, nowadays. But players are taking better care of themselves than ever. But, you know, the game does change, and the it's a quick twitch game, and the speed of the pitch, the pace of the game, the speed of the game on the field can be very, you know, very challenging as you get older. So I think the turning point oftentimes is about 32, 33.
Well, especially 162 games. I mean, that's a lot of baseball, you know. And then especially if you get into the playoffs, you know, and if you're, you know, an everyday player versus, you know, a relief pitcher, you know, that sort of thing. Right now, you guys, as of today, what are you about 4 games? I think behind the Dodgers. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think we're 3.5. I think 4 in the win column, 3 in the loss column, and. A lot of baseball ahead, but 10 games over 500 puts us in a good position. Yeah. So there are some teams playing really good baseball in the National League as well. I mean, the Phillies and Mets are right there. The Cubs are having a really good season. So Padres in our division. So it'll be interesting with the wild card race. But, you know, the focus is win the division and let the wild card be your backup plan, but not your primary plan.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, we haven't even hit the All-Star break yet. But what happened to San Diego? They kind of came out like a house on fire, and then I guess teams hit slumps.
That's ebb and flow of the season. I mean, Dodgers have had their slumps too, and they're getting healthy. And when guys go down, you know, even for us, losing Chapman is a tough hit. You know, we lost Verlander for a month. I mean, when you lose guys, it does have some potential to set you back. And but yet we've seen, you know, for us, Schmidt rise to the occasion. So it's been fun to see him, you know, 4-for-4 yesterday. And but yeah, I think Padres, you know, they're going to be tough all year, and they'll have some ups and downs just like anybody. But it makes the division tough. And the D-backs, you know, they emerged, you know, late in the year, you know, take themselves to a World Series a couple of years ago. So you can't count them out either.
Yeah, just count out the Rockies, unfortunately, for them.
Yeah, for the next century. That's one you got to make sure and win those games. It's you know, there's a lot of baseball against them, but you've got to find a way to win, because, you know, we've lost 2 games to them already, and they've only won 14, I think, for the whole season. So there's no game that's automatic in baseball. You still got to play it, and you still got to try to win it. So
those got to be the frustrating ones, though. I got to think to lose to a team you know, it's interesting. I always think about the old rivalries. For some reason, I don't know, is the Giants-Dodgers rivalry the same as it was before? I mean, it always happens like when there's a big fight going on. But or is it just, it's business, you know, and yeah, they're in the division.
I mean, I think in baseball, it's still one of the top 2 or 3 rivalries in baseball. And it's certainly in all of sports, it's certainly in the top 10 in all of sports. Yeah. I mean,
and yet, you know, up until a few years ago, until the 107-106 season, you know, the Giants never actually faced the Dodgers in the playoffs. They hadn't, you know, faced them in you know, decades. So it is kind of interesting that this rivalry exists, but it's only really been a regular season rivalry. Hasn't really been a postseason rivalry until just a few years ago, and the Dodgers, you know, obviously took advantage of that.
No, that's right. That's right. And, you know, you're on a collision course nowadays with them doing with the Dodgers. If you're going to get to win an NL pennant, you're going to pretty much have to go through LA, it seems. So.
Yeah. And then what about from a spending, you know, like, you know, the Yankees always spend a lot of money. Dodgers seem to spend a lot of money. The Giants, you don't really think of them as a, I mean, they're not like the A's. The A's hardly ever spend any money. What, I mean, that's got to come from the ownership, right?
Yeah, but I think ownership has kept us pretty consistently, and I can't speak as much for the last 5 years, but, you know, they have traditionally kept us in the top 10 in baseball, and in some cases even the top 5 in baseball. And but top 10 is where I think you want to see us. We're going to be top 10 in revenue and top 10 in payroll, pretty typically. I think that's ownership has a commitment to win, and, you know, so I think there's a lot of support there.
How involved is ownership? Like, how often do you speak to ownership?
Ownership's very active. I mean, they're in terms of presence at the ballpark and in terms of communication, certainly with Buster as the president of baseball ops, he has more regular contact and meetings, consistent meetings for the investor group. You have the executive team that sort of functions on the higher level of operations, and then represented as the team president, Larry Bear, and the managing general partner, Greg Johnson, and there's, a lot of other investors, but those guys are, Greg and Larry are particularly, involved in the day-to-day with Buster and the baseball ops and, of course, the business side.
I guess it depends on, who the owner is, how much pressure gets put on, the general manager, because, you can pick the greatest players and then, they get hurt or they get into a slump. And then you just wonder what the dynamics are between ownership and management, when those things happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that more front offices, I can't speak for all of them, but certainly with the Giants, there's always been a partnership between ownership and baseball operations. And, we feel like we're supported, but we don't work unilaterally at all. I mean, there's always a collaborative effort, so big decisions and sometimes even smaller decisions are conversations that take place with the ownership and the leadership and the baseball ops department. So,
okay. We've got just about a minute before we have to go to break. Russell, you want to ask any last minute questions? Cause Bobby's a busy guy. He's got to go pretty soon here.
Yeah.
Been good being with you guys.
Yeah, well, no, I the Giants have been involved in more one run. I've been a Giants fan my entire life, and since I was 5 years old. I don't ever remember them being in this many one run games. And do you think that's going to continue, or do you think the Giants will find a way to, finally put some strong offense together and be able to get some breathing room in some of these games, especially with the Devers deal? What's your thought there?
No, I think there's some advantages to the one run games, especially when you win them. But playoff type games are really often very close as well. So it's good for the guys to get used to playing close games, and it really helps the bullpen get the best out of themselves and ask the best of themselves. But I do see the offense having some potential for an upswing that could give us a lot more distance. It's on certain days, and even yesterday. I mean, yesterday was a very close game, but we pulled away. And so, I think anytime we can, win a game by 3 or 4 runs, it gives the bullpen a little bit of a breather, but it also, tells you that the offense is starting to hit on all cylinders. So, yeah, we'd love to see a string of wins where we, create more distance. And I think it's in there. So, I mean, we saw it yesterday. I think we'll see more of it.
Wow, great answer.
I always like that one. Well, guys, you ready for our last trivia question here? We'll see if Bobby knows this one. Which is the only state, which is the only U.S. state capital who does not have a McDonald's? Which is the only U.S. state whose capital does not have a McDonald's? Can you imagine that there's only one in the entire United States? Now, I don't know how old this question is, but I'm guessing it's pretty recent, all right? Email edward@sportsecom101.com the answer to that question, which is the only U.S. state whose capital does not have a McDonald's. And we have one more time for a silly joke of the week. So I was thinking about starting my own bakery, making bundt cakes, donuts, and bagels. I was going to call it Whole Foods. What do you think? Like that. All right. Audience, stay with us. Sports Econ 101, we'll be right back with some closing comments. Russell, it's really hard to get him to laugh, I'll tell you, or smile. You can't even see him on the camera
there. Hey, thanks for having me today. It's good
Absolutely,
to be with you guys.
Bobby Evans from the San Francisco Giants, thanks again for joining us.
All right, we'll see you later.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. And we had to say goodbye to Bobby, who was busy with the San Francisco Giants. Trivia question number three, which is the only U.S. state whose capital does not have a McDonald's?
Is that Vermont?
Yes. Montpelier, Vermont. And I know you didn't use Google. You're just a smart guy.
Well, there's a blogger who is this lady named Pumpkin Potion, and she's from Vermont, and she talked about how there is not only there's no McDonald's in the capital, but any of the McDonald's there, they can't put up like any big signs in Vermont. They have to just put a tiny sign up to say that it's McDonald's.
Really?
Regulations. Yeah, they don't like the tackiness of fast food places.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, now thank you for edumacating us. All right. We have actually, you know what? We got to go for our thoughts for the day. All right. So we don't have to worry about coming up with any more stuff. And it was always a pleasure having Bobby on. Okay. So here's our thoughts for the day. So I asked my doctor if I could sew up my own wound, and he said, suit yourself.
That, you know, that's what I said is the name of the self-serve clinic.
Ah, I like that. Okay. Okay. That works. And if I'm ever on life support, just unplug me and then plug me back in and see if that works.
Or turn you upside down and shake you.
Or turn me upside down and shake me. That'll also work. All right. Audience.
Like the Etch-a-Sketches.
Yes. I used to love that when I was a kid. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm Edward Brown, wishing you the best.
Adios.
So long.